This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abaim. Thanks, everyone, for coming to tonight's shir. This is our final shir on Sefer Bamidbar. The shirim on Sefer Bamidbar were dedicated by Rabbi Isaac Yasilovsky, Lilo Nishmas, his father, Shab Simon and Yitzhak Isaac, Began Eden, Timnu Chasai, Shabim Leil Tzio Shavasol family, Ad B.S. Gotzeg, Shirim of Tavshin Pevav, dedicated by Israeli family of Great Neck, Lilo Nishmas, Malka Bas Yosef. Also, Shirim are dedicated as Zuchus, Rufur Shlema, for Nasan Ben Menucha, Besoich Shar Chalei Yisrael, Sefer Amidbar, was again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim Mishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shomel, Yezben, Rav Yaakov Zakim, Rivka Bastavia Levin, Rav Dovin, Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Sefer Bamidbar is also dedicated by Mrs. Yehudit Herman, Lila Nishmas, her husband, Harav Shabsi, Benish Ben Moshe. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Rav Ari and Michelle Jacobson, Lila Nishmas. Today's yahrzeit, Harav Moshe Ben Rav Yaakov Cordovero, the Ramak, whose yahrzeit was today, Chaf Gimel Tammuz. Author of Paradise Rimanim, Taimer Devara. Tonight's shir is dedicated by my dear friend Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi of the Holy Land. Okay, fasten your seatbelts. First of all, I have very exciting news. I'm sure everybody is very happy to know that we're launching our annual campaign next Thursday night. I know you've been waiting the whole year for this. I know it's your favorite time of the year, but it's not mine. So you could help us out, and please help us make it as successful as possible. The best way you could be mishtatef is making a team page. Basically, the psychology is people, even if you don't solicit them, if they see your name, it's very helpful to us. Whatever you could do to help us out, the Beis HaKnesses, Beis Medrash, is a source of Torah not only for the members of our kehila, but beyond. But I will say, besides that, our shul is one of the only mekaymos where there's no talking by davening and there are no phones in the shul. But aside from that, it has already affected many, many shuls in the tri-state area and beyond, where many shuls have also taken that upon themselves. So it's a very good investment, whatever you could do to help us out. Tavei aleichem bracha. Okay, we have an amazing topic tonight. Also, what do you do Monday nights? Okay, it's a personal question. Monday night, 9:15. What do you do Tuesday night, 9:15? We learn Daf HaShavua. We have a shir. We've been learning Daf HaShavua. I don't know how many years. We started Be'a, Rosh Hashanah, Tainis, Megillah, Moed Katan, Chagiga, Yevamis, Ksubis, and now Nedarim. We do only one blot a week. We do it for a half hour Monday night, 9:15. Half hour Tuesday night, 9:15. We chazer it on Shabbos. We have an Ion Shir on Sunday. And we're now finishing Masechta Nedarim. We're starting Masechta Nazir in a couple weeks. And that is part of what we're going to be speaking about tonight. If you want to join us for Masechta Nazir, next week we're finishing Nedarim. You want to hear the Hashgacha Pratis? Next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, is our dinner, barbecue dinner, during the 9 days. We're going to make a Siyam on Masechta Nedarim. You know what happens when you make a Siyam in the 9 days? People come. It's amazing. It's amazing how people, when you make a siyum in the 9 days, people come. It's very effective. You know, I find it to be very effective. Anyway, we're making siyum Masechta Nedarim and we're starting Masechta Nazir. Okay, so away we go. You may notice that on the 10th day of Tishrei, you're going to come to shul, you're going to don white, and in the beginning of the evening, people are swaying and praying and crying, and people get very emotional. It's one of the most solemn moments of the year. But the thing is, what in the world are people getting worked up about? Like they're davening, you'd think they're davening for their life or something, or they're davening for some very important. This is the most technical procedure of the whole year. We're saying, in case you made a vow and you committed yourself, in case you said that you prohibit cotton candy upon yourself, We're now releasing you from your vow. So why is the guy wrapped up in his talis swaying and praying? What is he getting so worked up about? He's not davening for anyone's life. He's not davening for health. There's no kapara taking place. It's purely a hypotechnical halachic procedure. What are people getting so worked up about? Why are people so solemn during Kol Nidre? Why is Kol Nidre like one of the highlight tefillos of the year? It's just symbolic? Really, nobody has any clue what's taking place. If they would just know what's going on, they would take it easy. They would, whip the talis off the head and they would sit back and read Parsha sheets like they do during Kriyas HaTorah, which, by the way, you're not allowed to read Parsha sheets during davening. If you're a Parsha sheet guy, take the Parsha sheet, put it in your talis bag, and after davening, when everyone goes home, you could read all the 50 Parsha sheets. But this is not a baseball game where you need a program during the... Okay, that's also no extra charge. For any advice that I give you, I don't charge for it. It's free, unsolicited advice. But what are people getting so worked up about when it comes to Kol Nidre? Parshas Matos. Moshe Rabbeinu says... Vayedaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos el Bnei Yisrael leimar ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. This is the matter that God commanded. Ze hadavar, says Rashi, Moshe nisnabe b'koy amar Hashem kachatzois halayla. Moshe prophesied with the preamble, koy amar Hashem, so says the Lord. Koy amar Hashem. V'hanaviim nisnabu b'koy amar Hashem. The other prophets also prophesied, so said the Lord. Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level. Shenisnabe b'lashon zeh hadavar. Moshe didn't say koy, he said zeh. Okay? So if you're a regular prophet, said, Moshe said, koy amar Hashem. The prophet said, koy amar Hashem. Moshe added, he had an added level, he said zeh hadavar. The question is, what is the connotation of koi, and what is the meaning of zeh? And if Moshe had zeh, why does Rashi begin Moshe prophecy with koi? I thought Moshe prophesied with zeh. Make up your mind. What did Moshe prophecy with? Or prophesy with? What did Moshe prophesy with? So Rabbi Yo Mizrahi explains as follows. There's a fundamental difference between koi and zeh. Koi means... Here's the gist. Here's the upshot. Here's the point. I don't know exactly word for word, but this is the basic message Hashem is conveying. But it implies a degree of uncertainty. There's a certain degree of unclarity. Koi, this is basically ke, like something like this. Ke, like ke means like a dimyon. Ka'amur, like it is said. Ka'amur. There's a famous badchen who had a routine, where there's the real thing. There's a bias or a kibayis, like the house. There's a ball, there's a shamayim. It's kishamayim. There's aretz, it's like. Then there was a guy who had a wife named Razi. Yeah, you get it? Fine. Anyway, so ki means like, ki means similar to. It's an analogy, similar to. Ze means this is exactly how it is. Ze koi implies aspaklaria she'ena me'ira, an unclear prism. Ze implies aspaklaria hame'ira. The other Nevi'im, as the Sifsei Chachamim explains, prophesied with bechidois, with riddle, with analogy, with simile. They saw imagery, but they didn't see precisely. They saw aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. I once saw in the Vilna Gaon, the Nevi'im prophesied aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. Nevi'im Rishonim were me'ira she'ena me'ira. Nevi'im Achronim were e'ena me'ira she'ena me'ira. But overall, all the prophets prophesied aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu saw exactly aspaklaria me'ira. Therefore, he prophesied with zeh, this, exactly, zeh, this, yeah? So now the Mizrahi is bothered. So why does Rashi say in the beginning that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied with koi? What do you mean? I thought he saw exactly. Says the Mizrahi, when Moshe Rabbeinu started, and he was a novice, and he was a beginner, when Hashem first spoke to him, and he told him about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu also prophesied, Asbak Lar Yashayin Amira. So in the beginning, when Moshe started, it was, Koy Amar Hashem, Kachat Sois Alayla. The Nevi'im prophesied, Koy Amar Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately graduated to Zeh HaDavar. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu graduate? The Mizrahi says, Misha Zocha Bas Baklar Yam Ira Shuv Loi Hisker Belshoin Irak Zeha Davar. By the way, by the Shira, what did Klal Yisrael say? Zeh Keli V'yan Vehu. What do you mean Zeh? I thought only Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied Bas Baklar Yam Ira. No. You see, you ever wonder, how is it possible 600,000 Jews all see the same thing? And they all said the same song? Oz, Yashir, Moshe, Vneiza, Ashira, Lashem. How is it possible? Right? Everybody knows. Two Jews, three opinions. How in the world do you get 600,000? They put 70, Rav Huttner had a famous joke that, you think it was a miracle that they put 70 sages in the same room, right? The miracle was, it was a miracle that they all came up with the same thing. It was a great miracle that they all had the same changes. So how did 600,000 Jews all have the same Shira? Because they prophesied on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem put the words in their mouth. It was Zeh Keli Ve'aveu, Asbaklar Yamira. The Sifsei Chachamim says, before Moshe stood on Har Sinai, he prophesied with Koi. After Matan Torah, he prophesied with Zeh. When? Once his face began to shine. Okay, now, interesting. Nevertheless, the Torah chooses to emphasize that Moshe prophesied with Asbaklar Yamira by Nedarim. Not until the Parsha of Nedarim do we learn the high degree of the vision, the prophetic vision of Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, and the Maral disagrees with Rabbi Yoel Mizrahi. He says you cannot say that at any point in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu he prophesied with Asbaklar Yashayin Meira. There's no beginner. Moshe was never a beginner. He never developed. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, it wasn't a process. He prophesied. And when he prophesied, it's Asbaklar Hameira. However, says the Maral, there are two kinds of prophecy. There's what we call when Hashem tells you inside information, and then there's Torah. When Hashem tells a prophet inside information, it's Asbaklar Yashayin Meira. Whether your name is Yeshaya, whether your name is Yirmiyah, whether your name is Yechezkel, whether your name is Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Tzefanya, or Moshe. When you get inside information, when you get futures, when Hashem tells you what's going to happen, when Hashem tells you what's going to happen with nations and peoples and events, it's Koy. But Moshe Rabbeinu, besides being a prophet to know the future, he also received Torah Hashem. Hashem gave Moshe the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of pidyon haben. And when Hashem communicated Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no fuzziness, there was no haziness, there was no ambiguity, there was no uncertainty. Moshe Rabbeinu always prophesied Zeh. When Rashi says in the beginning that Moshe prophesied Bekoi, that was general information. By the way, midnight when the clock strikes 12, I'm killing all the firstborn. When Moshe Rabbeinu received Torah, it was Asbaklar Yahamira always, from the beginning until the end. As Aaron, Asbaklar Yashayin Meira.
Hashem also spoke to Moshe and Aaron.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm not mistaken, the Ramban says that the words Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar imply Asbaklar Yahamira. There are psukim that it says even by Yehoshua, Vayidab Hashem El Yehoshua Leimar, because Yeshua also had a little bit of the Sharnun. That's why his name was Yeshua bin Nun. So maybe when Hashem taught Moshe and Aaron, maybe Aaron was privy to that as well. Okay? These are two approaches in understanding Chazal, that Moshe prophesied Bekoi, and then Moshe had additional prophecy Zeh. Either it was in the beginning when Moshe started, or it means that when Moshe Rabbeinu received future information, it was Koi. When he received Torah, it's Zeh. Fine. Now, but let's try to understand, why does the Torah specifically articulate the clarity of vision of Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically by the topic of Nedarim? Okay, so we're now learning, this week we learned Daf Peites of Nedarim. Next week is the last full blot of Nedarim. And the week after, we finish. There's a amazing tradition we have from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, if you look at number 14, Rav Lezer Oizer heard from Rav Gordon, Rosh Yeshiva of Lomja, who heard from Rav Lezer Shulvitz, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that if you want a little Olam Hazeh, not Olam Haba, you want a little Olam Hazeh, you should learn Masechta Nedarim. The reason I'm telling you now is you could still join us next week. There's still one more blot left. If you want a little Olam Hazeh, learn Masechta Nedarim. He didn't say if you want Olam Hazeh, go to Central Avenue to a good restaurant. No guarantees. You never know what could be and what they give you. It looks good. You don't even know what they're putting in it. You don't want to know what they're putting in it. You never studied in the back, what is it called? When the inspector came, don't go there. If you're going to eat, just eat. Don't look at what they found, okay? So they don't tell you if you want Olam Hazeh. You want Olam Hazeh, learn Masechta Nedarim. Furthermore, Rav Baruch Ber said that if they would offer him Gan Eden, choose your Gan Eden. What would Gan Eden look like to you? Pick your Gan Eden. Gan Eden, Rav Baruch Ber would say, is a good shtender. Because without a shtender, you're sitting there, you could get a stiff neck. You need a good shtender. A good shtender. And a Nedarim with the Ran. That's Gan Eden. Gan Eden. He didn't say, I got to take a Nedarim with the Ran. Right, Israel? Nedarim. So the question is, what exactly is so geschmack about Masechta Nedarim? It's hard. There are a lot of hard Masechtas. It's juicy. All of Nashim Nezikin is juicy. Why Nedar? Why not Yevamis? Avram Avinu is into Yevamis. Why was Rav Baruch Ber into Nedarim? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, Gan Eden, Olam Hazeh, is Masechta Nedarim. Moreover, in the Sefer, Remiza Ba'iraisa, Dr. Asi reminded me, we said this in the Hakdama of the Masechta. In Sefer Remiza Ba'iraisa, he brings that he heard from the Avnei Nezer that when you learn Masechta Nedarim, you're Mevatel Amalek. You destroy Amalek when you learn Nedarim. Why? Because Amalek comes from crooked thinking, from krumkeit, I'll tell you something. You can have the most brilliant people in the world. Until you learn Gemara with Tosfos or Rishonim, you can't think straight. There's no better way to straighten out your thought process than by learning Shakla Vatarya of Shas. But of any Masechta, the one that teaches you Yashrus more than any Masechta is Nedarim with the Ran. So therefore the Avnei Nezer said, by learning Nedarim, you're Mevatel Amalek. Why? Because Amalek comes from Akmimus Hamoyach, it comes from crooked thinking, and Nedarim tells you, with the Ran teaches you Yashrus. I thought maybe that, Amalek is Gematria 240. Amalek is 240. And in the world of Gematria, the way you're Mevato something is to one-up it. The Ran is Gematria 250. So Ran is one more than Amalek. So, Ran one-ups Amalek. Yeah, that's just a treat, But that's not like the pshat. So far, the Avnei Nezer said, Amalek comes from crooked thinking. The Ran teaches you Yashrus and thinking. Moreover, one time, Hagoyin HaTzadik of Radu Mishla said in the name of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, by the way, the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz holds, you could make Kiddush on the plastic with the schnapps. So if you're a Sanzer Chassid, I'll let it slide. Okay, so I... that. But since you're not, you know? The Sanzer Rav said that learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, and the Ran is bread. Everything else is dessert. The Sanzer Rav would learn Nedarim with the Ran on Purim. The Ran destroys Amalek. Rav Menachem Zemba said he learned Yashrus and thinking from the Ran on Nedarim.
Okay.
What we would like to offer tonight, by the way, Reb Chaim Brisker said, Iker Derech HaLimud comes from the Ran on Nedarim. If you want to learn how to learn, the Ran on Nedarim teaches you how to learn. Okay? So if you still want to learn some Ran, you still have a week to go. You can learn it anytime. But we would like to explore tonight another level of understanding of why Mesechta Nedarim destroys Amalek, and what is so enjoyable. Why is Gan Eden Atachtoin found in Masechta Nedarim? So, there's a sefer called Masei Rekeach. Masei Rekeach was written by Rebbe Lezer HaGadol of Amsterdam. The Masei Rekeach, he wrote a sefer al pi Kabbalah on Mishnayos. A very interesting concept, where he tells you the mystical secret of each Masechta. He tells you the Rashi Tevois of the first words of each perek of the Masechta, the significance of the number of words in the Masechta. He reveals incredible things. There's a story that the dam in Amsterdam once was threatening to flood the whole city, and he saved the whole city. There's a coin that was minted with the image of the Rekeach on it. The family still has it. There's a coin. It's available with the image of Rebbe Lezer Rekeach of Amsterdam. Bells comes from Rebbe Lezer Rekeach of Amsterdam. He reveals the following secret. The secret is also found in number 21 of the Baal Smichas Chachamim, Rav Naftali Katz. The word neder means nun dar. The shar nun is embedded in the subject matter of Nedarim. There's a concept. Azriel, you know how you doing, by the way?
I'm good.
Good. I'm very happy to see you tonight. You don't have to be happy to see me, it's okay. You know? But it's not a conditional. It's unconditional. Yeah? Anyway, there are 50 gates of wisdom in this world. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are 50 gates of wisdom in this world. They're all given to Moshe Rabbeinu except for one. Shenemar, Vatechasreyu ma'at me'elokim. Chamishim sharei bina nivru ba'olam. V'kulam nitnu l'moshe chasar acha shenemar, Vatechasreyu ma'at me'elokim. There are 50 gates of wisdom. Moshe had 49. Where's the 50th? It's in the topic of Nedarim. Why Nedarim? Nedarim comes from the realm called Bina, the highest level of divine wisdom, the Inyan of Nedarim, because in a certain sense, think about it. Nedarim, you're adding on to the Torah. The Torah gives 612 mitzvahs. You have put on talis, put on tefillin, love Hashem, Birchas HaTorah, say Kriya Shema, you have 612 mitzvahs. All of a sudden, there's a new mitzvah. You know, the new mitzvah is, I make a neder, I'm not eating cotton candy. What do you mean make a neder? You're allowed to eat cotton candy. What, you're adding to the Torah? Where'd you get that power from? You're making a new mitzvah? You're making a new prohibition? I make a neder, I'm going to do A, I'm going to do B. What do you mean you make a neder? That's not in the Torah. Who are you to add to the Torah? No, this comes from a realm of divine wisdom that it transcends the rest of the Torah. Nun dar, it comes from the 50th Shar of Bina. Why are we matir nedarim on Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is coming from the realm of the Shar Nun. Yom Kippur is the highest day of the year, the most elevated day of the year. There's a concept, says the Masei Rekeach, that Yom Kippur is soid Bina. By the way, Bina is tshuva. Tshuva, Bina, tshuva, ilah, comes from Bina. The Sphira of Bina. Bina creates tshuva. Chachma doesn't, knowledge doesn't create tshuva. To do tshuva, you need to extrapolate. You need to really, you need to derive one thing for another. meaning you need to examine yourself. Tshuva comes from Bina. Bina is the source of Yom Kippur. Nedarim comes from the Shar Nun. Yom Kippur is from the Shar Nun. The reason, says the Master Ekech, we say Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the Yom of the Shar Nun. It's the day of Bina. What word begins Masechta Nedarim? Kol. Masechta Nedarim starts with Kol. Look at number 7. Kol Kinoi Nedarim Kinedarim. Why Kol? Because according to advanced mathematics, Kaf and Lamed is?
All.
50.
Very good, 50. yeah.
Why is making a neder adding to the Torah?
Because you're creating an obligation or prohibition that's not in the Torah.
If I say I don't want to eat milk or I don't want to eat something.
So now you're biblically forbidden from eating it. Let's say you say this milk is milk chalav zeh. Hare alai chalav zeh kekarban. So until now, you weren't allowed to eat treif. Now you're also not allowed to eat milk. You added to the Torah. That's why the Gemara says that someone who makes a neder, he's in a way like building a bama. He's building an unauthorized altar. Because who are you to make a new way of serving Hashem? In a certain sense, a person who makes a neder is criticized. The Gemara says, "Kol hanoider ki'ilu bana bama, v'hamekayimoi." And if you fulfill it, you're even worse. It's like you're a makriv a carbon on a bama. Who asked you to do it? Why are you adding? Why the guy next to you in shul is a good Jew? He's allowed to eat milk. Why you're a besser a mensch? Because now you're not eating milk. Why do you make this neder?
What about the zeros?
What?
What about the zeros?
That's next Masechta. Thank you very much. The next Masechta that we're going to be learning, starting in 2 weeks, is Masechta Nazir.
It's a form of the Nazir.
It's a form, yeah.
So we're not adding up to the Torah. It's there.
No, because you don't have to be a Nazir. There's no commandment to be a Nazir.
It's there. It's not.
And also, Nazirus is like a recommended form of prohibition. You're right. Nazirus is there. But milk was never was it suggested or recommended, you know, Haroya, somebody, Bekokula, Yazer Atzmaim, and licorice. That was never like a suggested form.
So, on Yom Kippur, what happens if you never did a neder? So what do you mean Mabatel on Yom Kippur?
Nothing. But most people do make nedarim unknowingly. If you do a good deed three times, it's tantamount to like a commitment that you're going to continue to do it. So unknowingly, inevitably, there are things that we may have not even taken upon ourselves, but tried to do three times, and now they're binding. So,
unless you're saying,
yeah.
When you say kol nedarim on Yom Kippur, is it for the coming year or for the past year?
Good, Shaila. I'll give you a shir to listen to.
If it's for the coming year, then what's the problem of giving a neder? It's meaningless.
What?
What's the problem of making a neder? It's meaningless.
It's not, because it's maybe only... Kol Nidre is only in if at the time that you make the neder, you forgot that you said the Kol Nidre. But you can't knowingly make a neder and I say, nah, I don't really mean it because of Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre doesn't include all commitments. It only includes unknowing. Okay. In any event, says Master Ekech, the reason why we perform Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur is because Yom Kippur also is from the realm of Bina, which is the reason why Masechta Nedarim begins with Kol, which also might be the reason why Kol Nidre begins with Kol. That he doesn't say. Maybe that's why Kol Nidre begins with the word Kol. Even though if you look in the Gemara Nedarim Daf Chav Gimel, the Gemara says if you don't want your Nedarim to be binding, you should stand on Rosh Hashanah and say any Neder I'm destined to make should be Batel. The Ran and other Rishonim say the Minog is we do it on Yom Kippur. Even though the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah, the Minog is we do it on Yom Kippur. Plus, in the Navi Yechezkel, Rosh Hashanah means Yom Kippur. By the way, this is another interesting idea. Rosh Hashanah means Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur means Hoshana Rabbah. Why? And the reason is because there are two simultaneous years that are transpiring at the same time, solar and lunar. The solar is an extra 11 days. So what's Yom Kippur in solar is Rosh Hashanah and lunar, and what's Hoshana Rabbah in solar is Yom Kippur and lunar. So that's the reason why the significance is Hoshana Rabbah, because it's really also Yom Kippur. And that's the significant. Yom Kippur is also Rosh Hashanah, because there are two ways that time move simultaneously. In any event, says the Maaseh Rekeach, that the Lashon of the Gemara, you ready for this? The words of the Gemara about a guy who doesn't want his nedarim to stand, he says, Koil, neder, shani, asid, lidar, hu batel, rashe tevois, yom kippur, bebina. Fine. And now, the rashe tevois of the words of the beginning of the Masechta are 399, shin tzadites. One of the reasons he said earlier is because the first neder ever made, who made the first neder ever? Anybody know? Who is the first person to make a neder? Vayidar Yaakov neder leimar im yelokim imadi. How old was he when he made the neder? He's 99. Oh, he's 99. Shnas tzadites. That's why the Rosh Tevois of Masech de Nedarim of the Prakim 399, Shin Tzadites, Shnas Tzadites. But he brings another reason. You know what other major sugyo is found in Masechta Nedarim? Anybody remember? Bikur Chaylim. The sugya of visiting the sick is not found elsewhere in Shas. It's only found in Masechta Nedarim. Why in the world is Masechta Nedarim talking about Bikur Chaylim? The sugya of Bikur Chaylim. The entire mitzvah Bikur Chaylim is a Masech Nedarim. You know why? First of all, one of the reasons is someone who's a Chayla is the appropriate time to make a Neder, as a Zchus. But what's the numerical value of Chayla? Ches. Vav. Lamed. 30. Hey. Add it up. What? 49. Chayla is Gematria 49. Chayla is 49. Why is he a Chayla? What's he missing? He's missing the Sharnun. The reason why there's illness is because of a lack of connection to the Sharnun. He's missing the Sharnun. Therefore, we put the subject in Nedarim to show Nundar. He needs to access the Sharnun to have Refuah Shleima. The entire subject matter of Bikur Chaylim is found in Masechta Nedarim. By the way, the Rosh Tevois of the beginning words of Nedarim, we start at 399. Plus the three letters Shin Tzadites is Gematria, Bikur Chaylim. Soifei Tevois, Tav Shin Samach Gimel. Gematria, Nun Sharei Bina. Okay, I have to say, I did not think of that. You know, I didn't come up with it. I didn't think of the Rosh Tevois or Soifei Tevois. But, how many Prakim in Adarim? 11 Prakim. Keneged, the 11 letters in the words Bikur Chaylim. Plus the two words. Now, I didn't think of that either. But I did think of, and you'll remember, I said it, but I found that he says it also. And which Masechta says there are 50 gates of wisdom in the world? It's Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches. So I found right before the share, the last line he says, that's why in Masechta Nedarim, it brings the Gemara, Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru Ba'olam. Why is it in Nedarim? That's the whole foundation of Nedarim. Nundar, the Shar Nun rests in Nedarim. The highest form of wisdom is in Masechta Nedarim. Okay, now this I love. How does, in Shas, in all of Shas, except for Nedarim, when the Gemara has a Shaila, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer, it uses this little nifty word that you probably remember from fifth grade. What is it?
Teiku.
Very good. Teiku. What a teiku literally means? Let it stand. But we have a tradition it stands for. Tishbi, Yitaretz, Kushiyos, Leibayis. There's only one Masechta. Then when we have a question and it stands, it doesn't say the word teiku. Masechta Nedarim, it says tiboilach. Ask the question. What does Tosfos say? Lasha nedarim mishuna. In nedarim, we use a different kind of expression. Now, when will the 50th gate of wisdom be revealed? When Mashiach comes. Or Pinchas Friedman would say, Mashiach is Rashi Tevois. Mashiach Yigale Shar Chamishim. Okay. So in every other Masechta, when we're dealing with the 49 levels, we have to say, wait until Eliyahu comes. Wait until Eliyahu comes. So you say, Tishbi Yitarit. In Adarim, we would never say, wait until he comes. In Adarim, he's here. So you say, Tibaylach, ask him. We don't have to say, Tishbi Yitarit, Kushiyas Vebais. In Masechta Adarim, he's here. Eliyahu's here. So we say, Tibaylach. Now, who is the only one in history who had Sharnun? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the only one who had the Sharnun. The Medrash says on the Pasuk in Iyov, V'chol yakar ra'asa enai, ra Rabbi Akiva mashaloi ra Moshe Rabbeinu. That Rabbi Akiva saw what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see. What did Moshe Rabbeinu not see? The Gemara says, Chamishim shari bina, nivra ba'olam, chulam nitnu l'Moshe, chasar achas. Moshe didn't have the Sharnun. Rabbi Akiva had the Sharnun. Kol yakar ra'asa enai, Rav Shmuel Vital says, Kol Yakar, he saw 50. So, if you needed to put the story of Rabbi Akiva being catapulted to the level where he taught 24,000, where he went from being a poor shepherd boy to becoming the all-time great teacher of Torah, which Masechta would you put the story of Rabbi Akiva in? I don't know. I think it would be a very good idea to put in Masechta in Adarim. Get a load of this. The story of Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law made a neder against him. He said, I'm not giving you nothing. You're a son-in-law. I'm not giving you nothing. You know? I'm not giving you cufflinks. I'm not giving you a watch. I'm not giving you I'm not even looking at you. I'm not giving you a shmata. I'm not giving you a tissue. So Rabbi Akiva lived in a barn. And his wife slept on straw, and he picked the straw out of her hair. You know, maybe this is the makar, Mark Twain would say, behind every great man stands a surprised mother-in-law, you know? You never heard that? So every shir you'll learn something, okay? Here, he was a surprised father-in-law. He was a surprise. He thought he wouldn't even be an Aleph Beis teacher. And then Rabbi Akiva comes back with 24,000 students. Further, Gemara famously says that after 12 years, he heard a Rasha tell his wife, your husband abandoned you like a hot potato. And she said, if he would listen to me, he would go back. He went right back, and he became the great Rabbi Akiva. So it's a connection to the Sharnun.
Right, no,
very good. Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. Good. Good, Hoysafa. Okay. So the story of Rabbi Akiva's being catapulted to the greatness of ultimately, which was the Sharnun, is in Masechta Nedarim. You know what I found? Because I'm very into, remember this? Pesachenu Megadim. How the beginning of every parsha is going to be similar to the end of the parsha. So Masechta Nedarim begins with the word koil. How does Masechta Nedarim end? I don't know, we didn't get there yet. But I took a peek. Masechta Nedarim ends with the words ka mashma lun. Says the Ben Yayada. Look at number 12. Siyum Maseches Nedarim ba'ois nun. Why? Ki ha Nedarim shehem ba'ois nun heim babina. Sheyeshba chamishim sharim misefer mispar nun. And that's why Nedarim is more chamor than shvuais. So it means it begins and ends in the same way. It begins with the word koil, 50, and it ends in a nun. Which may explain why the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you want oilam hazeh? The highest, greatest, most enjoyable Olam Hazeh, it's found in Nedarim. Nedarim is the highest level of Torah. Rabbi Baruch Ber said, you know what's Gan Eden? Masechta Nedarim. Because Masechta Nedarim has the highest form of wisdom. Now, we need another Divrei Chaim to explain the Divrei Chaim. Why? By learning Nedarim are you Mevatel Amalek? Because we know that Hashem had to take us out of Mitzrayim immediately, because had we remained there a moment longer, we would have fallen to the point of no return. Why would we have fallen to the point of no return? Because we would have fallen to the Sharnun, and Moshe Rabbeinu was only on the Shar Mem Tes, he couldn't yank us out. So Hashem had to get us out immediately. Says the Divrei Chaim, even though Mitzrayim technically was only on the Shar Mem Tes, there's one Uma that's on the Sharnun of Tumah. Says the Divrei Chaim, look at number 19, Krisa Zera Amalek Hu Keneged HaKedusha Koilel Kol Hanun Sharei Tumah. Amalek encompasses all 50 gates of Tumah. So if it encompasses all 50 gates of Tumah, there's only one way to destroy Amalek. You gotta identify a corresponding Koyach of Kedusha, of the Sharnun of Kedusha. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, says the Divrei Chaim, by learning Masechta Nedarim, Nun Dar, it contains the Sharnun, that's how we counteract Amalek.
It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu that took us out of Mitzrayim. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, why the Watsman?
Yeah, but
what's,
you know,
the difference? It would have been in the 50th. He could have taken us out.
But, you know, he was the middleman. The middleman's very important. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the guy, he's standing there with the stick, you know. He's the agent. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe. We needed Moshe. But that's why the Chida writes, he heard from his father, that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlach na b'yad tishlach, you know who Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind? Not like Rashi says Aaron, not like Targum Yonasan ben Azil says Pinchas. Send Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because then what's the rush? Let them fall to the Sharnun and Rabbi Akiva will yank them out. The Chida brings a medrash that Moshe said, let Rabbi Akiva take them out of Mitzrayim. So we're going to feature a new sefer. I don't think we ever featured this before. Says Rav Itcha Meir Morgenstern in Sichos Kodesh Dea Chachma LeNafshecha. Yidden are standing there on Yom Kippur. They may not be aware, or they're probably not aware. As far as they know, this is just a hypotechnical religious ritual where we're being matir nedarim. But why are they getting so worked up? Because their neshama senses that the reason why this is taking place is because the process of nedarim is the highest form of connection of Torah, of connection of ruchnias. Nedarim comes from the Sharnun and it's reserved for Yom Kippur. Besides the fact that the Zohar says that we're trying to be, Hashem took a neder, so to speak, that we're going to have to go into Golos. So we're, so to speak, being matir Hashem's neder that we have to be in the Golos, which, by the way, is a secret reason why the first parsha of the 3 weeks is Matos Maseh, because now we're mourning Chorban, we're mourning Golos. We need to be matir the neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He swore He's going to put us in Golos. So we, so to speak, say, okay, Rebbe Hashem, just by the way, we have a very good topic we want to read about in the shul. We want to read about Hataras Nedarim. You know, basically we're trying to get out of the mess. But Klal Yisrael senses the elevated moment of Hataras Nedarim, which is reserved for the day of Bina, the day of the Sharnun, which is the appropriate day for the process of annulling Nedarim and speaking about Nedarim. And that's part of the reason why they don't see it, but Mazle Chazu, their Mazel sees it. So basically what we're suggesting is that of all areas of Torah, the one area where the Torah highlights the clarity of vision of Moshe Rabbeinu, that when does the Torah pinpoint that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see Ba'aspaklaria Hameira, not by any other Inyan other than Nedarim, indicating that the subject matter of Nedarim is in a way the loftiest subject that we have in the whole Torah. In the Inyan of Nedarim is literally the Sharnun. If you wanted to get some Olam Hazeh in this world, you wanted to be able to enjoy some Gan Eden, it's the subject of Nedarim. And therefore, Masechta Nedarim begins with the word Koil. It ends with the final nun. It has in it the subject, Chamishim Shari Bina Nivra Ba'ilam. It has in it the subject of Rabbi Akiva. It has in it the subject of Bikur Chaylam. It has 11 prakim, Keneged Bikur Chaylam. And it's emphasized by the fact that this parsha, the parsha of Nedarim, highlights that Moshe Rabbeinu was Misnave Ba'as Baklaria Hami'ira. Have a wonderful night, Shkayach. Oh, so why? Oh, one second, we're going to add. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, why is there no Rashi? Maybe because Rashi is here to explain to us the realm of Torah's Moshe that we have a full understanding of. So Rashi explained all the other Masech, the Sharnun, that's like a Torah from a different realm. That's in a way,
there's no Rashi.
Now, I'll tell you, by all the Masechtas of Shas, it doesn't say Rashi. But it is Rashi. By Masech Nedarim, it says Rashi, but it's not Rashi, which is a general rule. It's called fake news. Okay, have a good night, everyone. Okay, Marav, yeah. And we'll conclude this time for real with two amazing Hoysafos. First of all, the whole subject matter of Rabbi Akiva who reached the Sharnun, what daf is it on Masech Nedarim? Lo and behold, daf nun. So that's a cherry on top, matanim and hashamayim, that the subject of Rabbi Akiva, who is the only person to reach the Sharnun, is found on Daf Nun. And amazingly, Masech Nedarim ends on Daf Tzadi Aleph. As it is known, the number 91 reflects the complete combination of the two names of Hashem, Shem Havaya, 26, Shem Adnos, 65, and the Yichud Hashlim, the complete unification of these two names, is what will be achieved in Bi'achras Hayamim when the Sharnun will be revealed, and therefore it's appropriate that Masech Nedarim has 91 Daf Tzadi Aleph. We should be Zoicha. May the Ribbono Shel Olam show us Mitairasai Nifla'ois, which could also be understood as Zayar teaches Nun Pla'ois, the 50 levels of wonders from Tarasenu HaKadosha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.